Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average, everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also listen to all of our episodes directly on our Facebook page or check us out on Twitter and Instagram for the latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. So it's been a minute, Rich. I know we kind of dropped off a little bit there in mid-February, so it's almost been close to 2 months since we've done one of these, but it has been a crazy off-season up to this point, probably one of the most memorable ones we've had in quite some time. What are some of the thoughts that you've had on things that have happened around the league since then?
It's probably been the busiest and most impactful off-season I can remember maybe ever. You know, obviously been around a few decades. And I've kept up with the NFL since I was about 5, 6. But yeah, I can't remember as many big names moving places. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Devontae Adams, just guys that are in, you know, their prime or towards the decline of their prime, but still amongst the best players in the league and that much movement. So it's good. I mean, the NFL definitely, you know, is the most impactful, I guess, followed league in the U.S. And, you know, even in their offseason, they found a way to make a splash and take all the attention away from all the other sports.
Right. And, you know, just going back even, 10 years ago, whatever, you know, in the NFL, trades were not really ever really a big thing. It was more so such something like NBA or even Major League Baseball. But, you know, until up and recently, trades have been coming like a lot bigger in the NFL. So it's interesting to see more and more of that happening, especially this offseason. So as you had mentioned a few names to start out with, I'll just go ahead and start out with, I think, one of the bigger ones was Russell Wilson traded from the Seahawks to the Denver Broncos. Obviously, that adds to our one of our divisional foes and makes our division, you know, like at least a lot more competitive and better than it would have had been. At least from last year and so on and so forth. So starting on Russell Wilson, what are your thoughts on that trade?
What's funny is I kept telling folks that, you know, the Seahawks should have traded the coach or let go of the coach and kept Russell Wilson. I think that was a better plan, but they didn't, right? They let go of arguably the best quarterback in the franchise history. And he went to a good spot. I think the Broncos are a team that has a good defense, has a few young stars. They traded away Noah Fant, who's probably their best receiving target in getting Russell Wilson. But like you said, it makes our division really competitive. And the funny thing is they still may be the last place team in the division, you know, after the moves that the other teams made. So That's the funny part.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean – just with the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos, and obviously us, it just seems like there's some really good quarterbacks now. I mean, obviously Justin Herbert in L.A., the Chargers. Obviously we have Patrick Mahomes. Now the Broncos have Russell Wilson, and even Derek Carr might seem the lesser of the other three. It's still going to be very competitive as far as quarterback positions in our division. So speaking of the Raiders, they actually acquired Devontae Adams, wide receiver from the Packers, in a stunning kind of move because we really didn't see that coming as he had gotten franchise tagged by the Packers. And of course, you know, we'll kind of talk here a little bit here just about Aaron Rodgers coming back for one, but we didn't think that one happened. So what was probably, I'd say, the impact for you whenever that trade went down?
I mean, having Devontae Adams within the division, so we have to play him two times per season, is big. Also, you know, kind of after looking at our defensive market and, you know, some of the guys that we'll talk about later on, it's something so we'll definitely watch because, I mean, he's arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. Derek Carr gets his college teammate back, and those two guys really wanted to play together. But I mean, I think more importantly, it had a huge financial impact on the wide receiver position in the NFL. That trickled down to, you know, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, and a few other teams. So Devontae Adams broke the wide receiver market. Well, I guess the Raiders did, right?
They sure did. Yeah, and it had some impactful thing as far as on our team, and we'll get into You know, the Chiefs is free agency this offseason and all that, but definitely impacted what we did this offseason in that trade. And speaking of one other big trade I want to mention is Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans going to the Cleveland Browns, who obviously Watson didn't play at all last year due to the controversy he had had with some lawsuits pending and pretty much sat on the bench all year. But him going to Cleveland, and obviously the Browns, you know, Browns fans know their history of their quarterbacks. They've had, you know, Baker Mayfield. Gosh, I could probably sit here for another 5-10 minutes listing all the quarterbacks they had in the last 20 years. But, and there's actually, you know, fans actually have, or some fans have jerseys that list all the quarterbacks on the back of one, you know, all their jerseys. But, you know, is Deshaun Watson, is he that guy for Cleveland now? Do you think that maybe they'll finally get over the hump as far as on quarterbacks for them?
Yeah, I mean, so that was another deal breaking or free agency or whatever it was, groundbreaking trade signing, because he got 100% guaranteed, right? Which is, I think, the first time ever, or maybe that large.
I believe so.
Quarterback, right? Because the day before, I think he had almost set his mind on going back home to Atlanta. It's going to be the Falcons quarterback. And then Cleveland said, hey, we'll give you 100%. So, you know, I don't blame him. I don't think anyone would turn away 100% on, I can't remember exactly how much money it was, 230, 280. But I think Deshaun Watson is the most talented quarterback they've ever had at the position. Getting Amari Cooper really helps because it's a possession wide receiver. They've got a great running game. They've got a solid offensive line. They got a good defense. At the end of the day, it's still Cleveland. So, you know, Baker took them to the playoffs. And got them a playoff win, right? What was it? Not this past year, but 2 years ago when they played the Chiefs.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's going to be hard to beat.
Not the Chiefs. So they didn't beat us. They didn't beat us.
No, in the playoff. No, yeah. They didn't beat us, but they beat, I forgot who they beat to play the Chiefs.
Oh, correct. I was wondering. I thought you meant like the Chiefs. I'm like, wait a minute. No, we
didn't. Yeah. They didn't beat the Chiefs. No, but yeah, they beat someone, and then they played the Chiefs.
I know what you mean.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, I think without a doubt, it's an upgrade. Baker Mayfield is, you know, kind of flirting on that Derek Carr line, Kirk Cousins. You know, I think those guys, Kirk and Carr, are better than Baker. But, I mean, yeah, they got to put it together. Their division isn't that great. I get the Bengals just made it to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's uncertainty with the Steelers, with the Ravens. The Bengals, I think, will be probably a little bit better than what they were. And that's kind of hard to say because they made it to the Super Bowl. But I think the regular season record will be better. So, the Browns have a chance to, you know, fight it out with the Bengals for tops in that division with Deshaun Watson. But, you know, then again, we still don't know how long he's going to be suspended for, right? I think it's a given that he's going to be. It's just how long, right? So that'll have an impact on it for at least this year.
That's correct. Yeah, we don't know if it's 4, 6, 8 games. Who knows? So that's more to come for them. So to end the last couple here, obviously, these two didn't go anywhere. One of them actually, I wouldn't say really went anywhere. He just kind of all of a sudden came back to life, as far as you would say. I'm just going to go ahead and mention that one because we're talking about that. But we're talking about Tom Brady. When we talked about this in one of our episodes in February, I think it was February, I believe so, because it was the day of the AFC Championship game, I believe, right? Was when he retired, or if not the day after, was, you know, we were kind of sitting there thinking like, well, you know, is this really going to be the end of Tom Brady as we know it? And it was all that speculation that week that did he really retire? Was he the one that really leaked it? Did his wife leaked it? Like, you know, whatever. Well, then here we come, a full circle here, talking again. And yeah, he's back, right? So he's playing with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, there was the brief rumor for at least a week about him being traded to the Dolphins. But so the GOAT is back in Tampa Bay. So what are your thoughts as far as his impact coming back and how the Bucs stand going into this next season?
Which, by the way, did you see the alleged rumor on him getting – let's say an ownership deal as part of, you know, moving to the Dolphins. Did you read about that?
I didn't see that part. No.
So I guess one of the the big reasons for him wanting to entertain that is they were going to give him ownership stake, you know, have him sign or traded to Miami, play a year, and then he'd, you know, be minority owner of the Dolphins. Or I don't know how legit that is. Only his camp will know. But, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, especially with them changing the coach, I think there's uncertainty, right? There's uncertainty in that team to begin with. You know, they made that little run there against the Rams in the playoffs to keep it interesting. And I think this year is going to be another interesting one. Now, there's always, you know, controversy that follows Tom Brady. I mean, he's the GOAT for a reason. There's always controversy and drama that follows him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Bucs. You know, now that Arians is out, does that mean Antonio Brown might come back? I don't know. But I think you can for sure count on, obviously, they kept Godwin. They still have Evans. They, you know, whatever Gronk is doing, I'm sure he'll be there at some point. So I think they'll still, you know, be in first place in that division. And obviously, I don't think Tom Brady is coming back without an intent to make another serious Super Bowl run.
Right. He wouldn't have came back, you know, from retirement if he didn't felt like this team could still win and he could still play at the level that he's been playing. You know, I think it was just at the end of the day, could have been just like a premature decision on his part. I think he was probably ready to start, you know, I guess you'd say father time with his kids and all that. But I think he felt at the end of the day, he still wanted to play more, or either that or his wife got tired of him doing nothing. We don't know that part. But anyways, he's coming back for another season, and be interesting to have him once again in the NFL for, let's see, you know, I ain't going to say his last season because who knows, he could play another two or three more years again. Who knows? But last one I have, obviously, is another quarterback, and I kind of spoke about it a little bit ago about Aaron Rodgers. He actually is coming back to Green Bay, which in a lot of people was a surprise because of how the organization in Green Bay has treated him over the years he's been there, and then all the controversy from last offseason about him maybe not even playing, and obviously ended up playing for the season. So he comes back. I believe he signs a two-year, $50 million contract, I believe. So that was interesting. I think out of everything, I think that surprised me the most, that he came in Green Bay. Obviously, he had rumors going to Denver and all that. But coming back to Green Bay, what are your thoughts on that for Aaron Rodgers and that team moving forward?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers is such a drama queen. Like, I get it. I understand all that stuff. But it's like, man, he carried this whole thing out for so long. And at the end of the day, I think either his back and forth with the Packers may have cost them Davante Adams. You know, because I think maybe there was some uncertainty on Davante Adams end. Do I stay? Do I not? Now, obviously, they traded him after Rodgers announced coming back. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Davante was like, okay, I'm done with it too, and I'm out. So, yeah, I mean, it's good for the league, right, to keep Mahomes, Brady. I know you got Wilson, Herbert, Carr, and Mahomes in the – I think I missed somebody. No, I got them. Yeah, so Wilson, Carr, yep. Herbert, Mahomes all in the same division. Then you got Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson hopefully has a bounce back year. You know, the Rams did really well with Matt Stafford. So the NFL is at one of its highest peaks in regards to quarterback play with, you know, obviously the addition or the retainment of Rodgers and Brady. So it's good for the league. And hopefully, you know, Aaron Rodgers does what he does, and then he retires after a year or two.
Exactly. Yeah, I think when we talk about Brady and we talk about Rodgers, I mean, obviously these two quarterbacks will end their career at some point. Just, you know, who knows when? But these guys are kind of battling out to who lasts the longest or whatnot. But obviously, I think Brady will win that in the end. But yeah, it's their time will end up coming here sooner or later. Even though they can still considered obviously probably top 10 quarterbacks at their age still right now. But yeah, their time will be coming here soon. All right. So heading into talk about the Chiefs now, as far as the Chiefs' free agency and their offseason up to par, at least right now. I'll actually hand over to you to start with what is some of the top, or you can start with at least one for now, top additions to our Chiefs team moving forward to 2022.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start off with the guy replacing Tyrann Mathieu in the safety, Justin Reed, that we also got from the Houston Texans. And the easiest way to explain it is he is a younger, bigger version of Tyrann Mathieu. The guy plays with physicality. He's fast. He's got speed. He's got more length. Because like I said, he's bigger, taller, stronger. I don't know about stronger, but bigger and taller than Tyrann Mathieu. But he's got that reckless style too, where he'll go out and hit anything. He's very aggressive in the box, can play, you know, the free range safety up high in coverage. So I really like it. I mean, and he's, I think, what, 7 years younger or 6 years younger at the age of 25. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a great pickup. I really like it. The deal is pretty good on paper, right? 3 years, about 31.5. When you dig into the details of that, X amount is guaranteed. And, you know, so we're not giving him the full 10, a little 10 and some change every single year, right? There's incentives in there, guarantees, so on and so forth. But, I mean, I love the move. We got younger, faster, and in a way, cheaper.
I love the move, too. I'm really excited to see what Justin Reed can do on this defense, and especially if you've been watching some of his highlights, including, I think, today someone put a video in our chat and saw that as well. So that's going to be very exciting to see what he does on the defense there in the defensive backfield. So my one that I have, because I had Justin Reed as number one, the second one for me was Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver from the Steelers, signed a one-year, I believe it's worth a maximum of $10.75 million with us. He's only 25 years old. I know he's had some recent injury issues he had had, I think even last year. But, moving forward, I think, and we'll talk about, like I said, other things on wide receivers. He's obviously probably going to be our top wide receiver, at least starting the season out. Obviously this gives it room for him to grow. I know it's only a 1 year deal, but I could see if him plays pretty well this upcoming year. I think that's going to end up turning into a multi-time deal, but he actually wanted to play for the Chiefs last year, in free agency, ended up signing with the Steelers, I think, for another 1 year deal. So I'm very excited to see this move coming to the Chiefs. And as in Justin Reed, you know, getting younger, we're also getting younger with Smith-Schuster too as well at 25. So this is another great addition to our offense. And I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes was thrilled about this move when we got him as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was also my number two addition. So glad we're on the same page. Great minds think alike. For me, I mean, I've got a few listed here, but I really want to talk about this next guy. Jerron Christian, the right tackle that we signed, also from the Houston Texans. They got our old name, right? Since we used to be the Dallas Texans, and it seems like they've become like our farm team.
Right.
Some good players. So Jerron Christian, I had his age written down here, and I got it. But I know he's no older than 27 years old. Played for the Redskins. Last year played for the Texans. And I really like him. Watched some of his, let's say, games from when he was at Louisville. As much as I could from the Redskins, but a lot of the Texans film. And the guy can play. Now, he played for the Redskins when they weren't that good. The Texans weren't that good last year. I think people perform better when they are in better environments. And we've shown the ability to develop players and get them to their max potential. So, again, Jerron Christian, the right tackle that we got from the Texans. It's a one-year deal, so we don't have huge commitment there. I think he's going to come in and battle with Lucas Niang and, you know, whatever right tackle rotation we had from the previous year. And don't be surprised if, you know, at the end of camp into preseason, we see him get some first team reps, with the exception that we don't draft someone, high with those first few picks. So, that's a big one for me, Jerron Christian. Check him out. There's a ton of stuff out there on YouTube with, actual game footage and breakdown, especially when he was at Louisville in college. So another good young player that we've signed, low commitment. So it's one of those low risk, high reward if he pans out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I like what you said about him competing at that right tackle position between him and Lucas Niang, and maybe even throw Andrew Wiley in that mix too as well. But between those three guys, it would be an exciting camp to see who actually comes out of that with that right tackle spot. Because obviously from the other side of the line, the other four guys, I think we're pretty much set, at least for the next who knows how many years, but I think at as long as years, right? Well, at least, and then also, I guess I keep forgetting that Orlando Brown was only a franchise tag, so he hasn't signed a deal yet. But obviously, he probably will here, you know, coming up here soon, maybe even after the draft. Who knows? But yeah, as far as the rest of the line is pretty much set, so that'll be interesting to see what Christian can do for us in, you know, in that right tackle position. So my third one that I had was different. I actually selected Ronald Jones, who we got from Tampa Bay. And he's also, he's only 24 years old too, as well. He'll be about 25, I think, when the season starts. So still another young guy. You know, he's probably what I have thought of, at least recently, the closest running back we've had since Kareem Hunt was on the team. The guy can catch out of the backfield. He can run. He's pretty fast. He does have had some fumble issues in the past, is the only thing that people aren't concerned about. But I think that's a great addition to go with him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield, having that 1-2 punch, because we don't think at this point, I think Jared McKinnon's probably not going to get re-signed. Also, we still have Derek Gore too as well. So those would be the three running backs. But for him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire being that 1-2, I think that's going to be an interesting look at that, and especially for Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to love that he can catch the ball in the backfield a lot too as well. But that was my third one that we had for as far as acquires on our team. As far as some of the other ones, kind of, I can just kind of run through them just a little bit quick. I do want to mention we did get another wide receiver from the Packers, which is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We call him NVS for short, probably a lot easier because that's a mouthful of a name anyways. And then defensive tackle Taylor Stallworth from the Colts. Looking to probably replace that interior line. They also got two linebackers in Jermaine Carter from the Panthers, played last year. I think he played all games last year starting, but he wasn't too much of a factor, but he did start all games, last year for the Panthers. We also got linebacker Elijah Lee, if I'm pronouncing that right, from the Browns. And then also safety Deion Bush from the Bears. And wide receiver Corey Coleman from the Giants Browns. I know he was a former first round pick for the Browns who hasn't really turned out to be really anything that either the Browns or Giants seen in him. So he might just be a filler for wide receiver, but I just thought I'd mention he was another acquire. Is there anybody that I might have missed that might be someone else to mention? I think I pretty much got everybody.
Yeah, Jermaine Carter.
Jermaine Carter, that's right. Okay, that's all right.
The linebacker that we got from the Carolina Panthers on your one-year deal.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy I mentioned that started all the games last year for the – but, yeah, that's going to be, I think, a good addition. I think he could probably fill more so of maybe Anthony Hitchens' minutes is what I'm thinking, because obviously Willie Gay Jr. and – Nick Bolton will be the two main linebackers, but obviously we do play with three every so often. So I can see him stepping in as that role.
Yeah, I mean, and I've watched some stuff on him, and he was with the Panthers since 2018. Didn't play much the first few years. Last year he played a lot more, and he did well. So, you know, it's just another young, fast player to add to our defense. You know, very low commitment, right, with the one-year deal. So it'll be interesting to see how they rotate him in, because he'll be better in coverage than Nick Bolton is. So, you know, when we have to play a true 4-3 system, it'll be interesting how they line up. But, you know, maybe on nickel downs or dime or third downs, or I should say, nickel and dime packages, he'll come in instead of having Nick Bolton out there. And then, of course, I just you mentioned him, right? But I got to give a shout out to Veach for bringing another Hurricane back in with Deion Bush. Followed that guy since Miami recruited him out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we got another Hurricane on the squad, because I think we haven't had one since Allen Bailey, because Rashad Fenton is from Miami and was committed to Miami, but didn't end up at Miami. So, yeah, that's one guy I'll definitely be you know, trying to chat to at training camp events and stuff like that, have him sign some of my Hurricanes gear.
Nice. I like the little Hurricane shout out. I can't say the same. I can't remember, because I don't think there is a Tar Heel on our team. So Ryan Sims. Since Ryan Sims, we don't want to talk about him because that was terrible. He was people are thinking that he would be so good because Julius Peppers was double teamed all the time and he was getting all the, I'm like, nah, he's not that great.
And didn't did we get Peppers after? I'm sorry, did the Panthers get Peppers after Sims or no?
Same draft. Panthers drafted Peppers before we got Sims, okay. If I'm not mistaken.
I know there were some guys that we passed up on for Sims. I thought it was Peppers, but no, you're right. Yeah, Peppers.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Peppers went number one to the Panthers, but I cannot exactly remember that. Let's see, just to make sure here. He was number two. Yeah, he was number two, and I think Sims went like five or something like that to us. But yeah, I think we would have gotten Peppers if we couldn't have gotten Sims. That was for sure. We would not have passed.
Yeah, that was one of those Carl Peterson specials where everyone was like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think there were a few people. So David Carr was number one. Ryan Sims was number six. Guys that we passed up on, which I get it. Like Brian McKinney, which we had a great line at that point, so we didn't need Brian McKinney to tackle. Ray Williams, a safety from Oklahoma. Our defense was terrible, so that would have been a good pick. John Henderson, Dwight Freeney were a couple big guys. Albert Haynesworth. So there was definitely still some guys we passed up on. But, yeah, Ryan Sims. Oh, of course, Ed Reed. Yeah, that was a draft for Miami. Had a bunch of guys.
Ed Reed, did we have Eric Berry then, though?
No, this is 2002.
Oh, this is before that. So, okay, got you.
Yeah, Eric Berry was probably still in, what, middle school?
Oh, that's true. That was a while ago, yeah.
So, yeah. So, no, that's definitely some good a draft history right there for you.
For sure. But, yeah,
thankfully, we don't have as many Ryan Sims as we used to.
Yeah, correct. You could either put in Junior Savi in there too as well. So we don't have those kind of players recently. So heading into our top departures from the Chiefs team, heading to new teams for the 2022 season. Obviously, I'm going to mention it, and I'm pretty sure you're going to have some feedback on this one too as well. The biggest one, obviously, to the Chiefs, and it kind of all happened within a day. I think
hours. We went
to, we went to sleep one night and we came up the next morning and like, what's going on? So it started with, and of course, everyone know we're talking about Tyreek Hill. He ended up getting traded to the Miami Dolphins for 5 draft picks. We got a first round pick, which is number 29 overall, second round pick, number 50th overall, a 4th round pick, and then an additional 4th and 6th round picks for next year's 2023 draft. But to kind of tell the story, like we were kind of starting off with, is we literally it went from the Chiefs can't come to a deal with Tyreek Hill, so we now let him the ability to go out and see if we can get a trade. So we were thinking at this time, we're thinking like, oh crap, we can't come to a deal. He's just going to go see what other teams that might want to get him on their team, basically. And that wasn't what really happened, because we were thinking like, oh, he's not gonna get traded. Like, I mean, at the same point, like, there's no way they're gonna pull the trigger in one day or even hours to get him traded. But no, within the next couple hours or 2 or 3 hours, it literally was set in stone that he was going to the Dolphins. After I think the Jets were involved in that conversation, I think previously, but he ended up going to the Dolphins and they gave him a 4-year, $120 million extension, which included like almost more than half of that was guaranteed. It'd be 72, I think, was guaranteed of that. But anyways, that was it was a huge move. It kind of changed everything, because even things we just talked about with additions to our team, it changed the whole concept of people that we didn't get to sign or other people that we could have signed and all that. But how big of an impact, even though I've talked about it just now, but how big of an impact do you think overall for this Chiefs team did it make it be?
So let me back up real quick. One thing, kind of do like a tribute to Tyreek Hill, right? What Tyreek Hill was able to do with the Chiefs is amazing. He's one of a kind. To say that we'll ever have a player, or the NFL will ever see another player like him, is probably far-fetched, right? So that's a pretty safe statement. You can take that to the bank for a very, very, very long time. So everything Tyreek Hill did for us in the past, right, while he was with us, was great. Grateful in every single way. Again, right, we'll probably never see another player like that. Now, going forward, and in regards to staying competitive and keeping teams in the race to actually win a title, the move makes sense, right? Financially, it makes sense. Once you take the emotion out of it, there's still so many things that the Chiefs need to fix. The free agency class has shown that we needed to get younger, faster, better on the defense and as well as the offense. So what does it mean for the Chiefs? It means that we'll see a different kind of offense. We started to see that a little bit in the games that he was out last year. And Patrick did really, really well. We've seen his evolution as a quarterback. And I think it's going good with his new offensive line. This would be another year where we'll see it. So, yeah, like I said, I think it means it's different now. Chiefs fans need to let go. I think the Chiefs cashed in at the perfect time for Tyreek Hill when his value was at the highest after his best season as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. We got a ton of stuff for him. So, in my opinion, the Chiefs, without a doubt, lost once-in-a-lifetime player. But they also gained as much as they possibly could
right
from it to set themselves up to maybe not only replace, because you won't replace his type of player, but you can distribute his type of production. And I think we're doing that. We're getting younger. I'm sure that one of our top six picks in rounds 1 through 3 will be invested in a dynamic wide receiver. And at the end of the day, right, it's Mecole Hardman's year to really, really step up. And he's gotten better. If you look at Mecole's numbers year over year, he's gotten better. He's produced more. So he's going to be the quick wide receiver for us. At the end of the day, right, it's thank you for everything you did. By all means, get your money, which he did. He was offered, $22 million a year? And then once that Devontae mm-hmm. Adams deal happened, he said, no, I want more. And he wanted to live in Miami. And that's cool. It worked out for him. It worked out for the Chiefs. I'm happy for Tyreek Hill, but I'm ecstatic for the Chiefs and what they'll be able to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Everything that you said, I totally agree with. And, backing up from me real quick too, is I didn't get to mention that as well. I appreciate his whole time that he was here with the Chiefs as well. All the famous plays that we've seen him do, the famous Hail Mary against the Cowboys, even the one of the last ones he had, I think it was the very last
Bills
one
game, right?
In the Bills game, which, is still in the back of my mind. All those long Mahomes passes to him wide open. He does the peace sign and all that stuff. That's just some memories that we'll never forget. And like you said, it's someone that the Chiefs will probably never have ever again on their team to that degree as far as that kind of dynamic player he has. But at the same point, it was kind of, frustrating to see him leave. But I can see why he left. And like I said, I can't be mad at him, wanting to provide for his family and, trying to get the most that he can get out of. And, obviously it worked out for him in Miami because that's where he, lives in the off season and works out in the off season there in Miami. So I'm glad that he got to go to a place that he likes and, enjoys there. So it'll be interesting to see him when we do end up playing him, if Dolphins in the playoffs, maybe this year. I know they're not on the schedule, so maybe we'll play him either in the playoffs or coming up in the future while he's on that team. But I think everything else you said is totally where I'm at with that as well. I think the Chiefs got him at the right time, what they did, and with everything that we got from him too as well. So with that, obviously being the top departure, I'll lead you to introduce the probably second top departure the Chiefs have had in this offseason.
Yeah, and it's a departure for right now because he still hasn't signed anywhere. But, the loss of Tyrann Mathieu, it's something we will feel, even though we've technically filled that void with Justin Reed. But also, Tyrann Mathieu and what he did for the Chiefs, we don't win a Super Bowl without him. His leadership, his style, his just overall demeanor as an NFL player is what the Chiefs needed. And without a doubt, we won a Super Bowl because of him. So, right, it's not technically, you can't rule it out because he hasn't signed anywhere. You never know what will happen. But I think that's the second biggest one after Tyreek Hill.
Yep, and I had that one listed down. I didn't have that in my second, but I had him listed as ones to mention because the reason why I guess I didn't have anything top for him was because he didn't sign anywhere yet. So it's a possibility, like you said, who knows? He could come back. At this point, might be highly doubtful, but I think it's still, as you had mentioned, just because of what he has done for us when we won Super Bowl and him being that defensive leader, I think it's a huge loss. no matter what, you know, where he goes. But whoever does get him, will definitely get a great leader, I think, for their team. So it'd be interesting to see where he ends up at. So my second one that I had on my list was Jarvarius Ward. He was basically our number one cornerback. I think you kind of debate him and probably Snead as being number one, but I would say he was probably more so number one just because Snead is still kind of up and coming. But, you know, he signed a 3-year contract with the Niners, so heading there on their defense. But that will be felt impactful, and I'll kind of mention because not only him but also Mike Hughes left, which I know a lot of fans didn't really care too much about Mike Hughes, you know, later on the year, but and he ended up signing with the Lions. So just with having those guys gone, that leaves a huge gap, I think, at our cornerback spot, with only having Snead, Baker, and Fenton right now. So I think that will be one of those that definitely will be felt to have somebody replaced for his spot. What would be another one, I guess you would say, to kind of end out at least our top departures?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tackle two quick ones really fast just because I think their impact was good while they were here. Daryl Williams and Byron Pringle, right? Daryl Williams, he's one of my favorite running backs I've had over the last few years. He's done a great job when he was called upon. I mean, had that little poster that he put on the Raiders on that Sunday night game in their new stadium when he just went off. So that's always good. So, you know, wish him the best of luck. And then Byron Pringle signed a nice little deal with the Bears. You know, their GM, who was formerly, you know, under Veach in his scouting department, of course, plucked away Byron Pringle, and he got paid. You know, not to say that we weren't going to pay him or something like that, but it's a good spot for him. They need wide receivers. He'd probably be maybe fourth, maybe even looking at fifth next year. But there in Chicago, he might have a better chance. So those are the two big ones I wanted to make sure I called out.
Well, you could say, I mean, I know you would say fourth or fifth probably for us next year. But then again, you know, do we really sign someone like Marvell's, you know, or MVS, you know, someone like him, would we would sign if we would have signed Byron Pringle? It also has a lot to do with, you know, obviously I mentioned Ward too. It had a lot to do with that Tyreek Hill deal. If that happened before free agency started, you know, we might be not saying Ward left or Pringle left. I mean, who knows? But so that had a lot of big impact to it. But no, those are good call outs as far as Pringle and Daryl Williams. I think, like I said, I really liked how he was running, especially towards the second half of the season. Definitely took over for Clyde Edwards-Helaire very well when he was out with injury, and felt like he was that guy until we put McKinnon in there and you know, kind of mixed it up between the two. So a couple of the last ones I'll mention. Probably one of the bigger ones that probably a lot of people don't really want to felt about, but Anthony Hitchens, obviously he was probably another leader on that defense we had for a couple years. I think we all kind of saw that coming with him being released because of how much his contract was, and also because of age. I actually kind of predicted it was Hitchens and Clark being the two guys that are getting cut on this team. Hitchens obviously being one of them. Frank Clark probably would have, but he obviously, you know, did stay with us, getting his contract reduced. And so a couple of the other ones I want to mention is Jaron Reed, defensive tackle. He went to the Packers. Let's see, Amani Watts, another safety we had, mainly played special teams. He went to the Colts. And last but not least, you know, we could not mention an episode not saying number 49, Darren Sorensen. He signed with the Saints. I know a lot of people are going to be happy that he's not on the team anymore. I will say, you know, to not be total, you know, hatred or anything towards Sorensen, he did make some plays, and he did have a productive career for what he did. You know, maybe there was a lot of circumstances that he shouldn't be in the game as much as he probably did, but overall in his whole career, I think that what he did for this organization and everything, I think was, you know, I think it was a job well done, even for what he did. But, you know, though, obviously there's some times that people always call out for the things that he did. And we have on this podcast for sure. So, but he is obviously with the Saints now. So any, I guess I would say any thoughts on any of those guys, or Anybody that I might have mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, the big one for me is, like you said, Sorensen, right? That play he made against the Texans sparked that comeback on that fake punt return – or, yeah, fake punt that he pulled off. I mean, it was a shoestring tackle, but he made it, and that like, led the way on the route as we came back by the end of the second quarter. So, yeah, like you said, right, it's one of those where there were a lot of pain points. You know, Shannon Sharp, and there were several national media members that said, if 49's on the field, you go at him. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew that. But, I mean, yeah, there were times he made great plays. The interception he had in Mexico City versus the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Several plays that he made along the way. But, yeah, it's one of those where hopefully Deion Bush does better. He's got some big shoes to fill there with Sorensen gone. But, yeah, I mean, you mentioned pretty much, you know, some of the bigger names that are, you know, longer here, and we just got to get younger and hopefully faster and as well better.
And I think that's what we're going to kind of look forward to, is I think that we're always, or at least Veach is always trying to look for that next guy that's faster and younger. And I can see that going, you know, even forward here to upcoming draft. I actually even looked today, I think we're the 14th or 15th youngest team in the NFL right now. I expect that to probably even climb with the people that we probably draft here at the end of the month here. So yeah, I think that's always something that they're always trying to improve on. Is, like I said, that speed and that youth here on this team. So, but that's pretty much what the Chiefs have done so far. Not to say that it's going to be the end of any free agency. I think at this point, and I think they have been the last few weeks, that they're just kind of waiting to see what happens in the draft. Some other dominoes might fall. I mean, obviously, you know, Melvin Ingram's a guy who we didn't mention yet. Was a big part of how our defense played when we had signed him all the way to the end of the year. And he hasn't signed anywhere yet. Was it Miami or some team? I think we had seen an article about him visiting the other day. But that's just an example of things that could still come and see what happens. You know, if McKinnon happens to come back on this team or that thing as well. So, but that's pretty much, yeah, I'll kind of recap what have happened so far in free agency this offseason. And speaking of the draft, actually our next couple episodes that we'll try to put out here before the draft on the 28th of this month, that we'll just basically, we'll kind of lead into that on our upcoming episodes. We're basically just talking nothing about the draft here in the next upcoming episodes. So with all that being said, I'll leave it to our final thoughts segment for today about the whole thing on the Chiefs relocation. Arrowhead, as we know it, is it something that obviously it's been a big talk since the Royals moving downtown, and that's pretty much, I think, almost like 99.9% chance happening. Like, the Royals are probably definitely going to move downtown. That the big thing is, obviously, there was a article that came out that said, well, the Chiefs might move to Kansas, or, you know, what do the Chiefs do whenever the Royals, you know, move downtown? So anyways, what is your thoughts on this subject as far as, you know, is Arrowhead going to get rebuilt? Is it going to be more renovations right there and they're not going to move, or do they move to Kansas? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, both of us are from two different states, right? Or we live in two different states. I'm, you know, raised in Missouri. You're basically, I guess, raised in Kansas a little bit, right? And then just live here now as an adult. So we've got two different perspectives on, you know, the sides of Kansas City. So for myself, I think, you know, being on the Missouri side, the Chiefs belong in Kansas City or in Missouri. Missouri has the bigger side of Kansas City. I don't think it's the more financially stable or financially wealthy side, but there's more of Kansas City, even though for outsiders' perspective, you know, they think Kansas City is mostly in Kansas, but that's beside the point. So I'll start it out with one thing about Clark Hunt is he is not like his dad. Well, he is and he isn't. He is because he's a businessman, but he has a little bit more of that cutthroat than his dad had. Lamar was loyal, right? Maybe that's why we weren't as good as we were for a certain time, because he had on to people like Carl Peterson, some coaches maybe a little bit longer, so on and so forth. Clark is a little bit more about, we got to produce. How can we produce to the highest of our abilities? So what I mean by that is, Clark wants a Super Bowl. Clark wants bigger revenue streams. You know, the name, right? Geehaw. What is it? Geehaw Field at Arrowhead Stadium. You know, that's something Lamar never did, despite the fact that I'm sure tons of companies said, hey, we'll give you some money so that we can name stadium X, Y, and Z. With that being said, it doesn't surprise me at all that the Chiefs are entertaining the idea of moving to Kansas. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of very wealthy people in the Johnson County, even some of the Wyandotte County areas. But mostly there's a lot of land where you can build things like hotels, restaurants, little malls, so on and so forth. There's, because there's just stuff everywhere. And private equity firms that have money, it's easier to move things than when you wait for local state like you have to do in Jackson County with where the stadium is at now, right? The thing is, that stadium that they currently have, it, when the Royals move, right? Because I don't think it's a if. You said 99.9, and it's almost like 100. Right?
I think it's going to happen.
Right? And so when they do, what do you do with that part, right? Because the stadium does belong to the city. So if you, let's say you tear down Arrowhead, now you've got more parking, now you've got more space. That whole eastern part, I guess it's like, it's not really south, but I mean, it is to some folks. It's more of the eastern part of the city. It's under some sort of a gentrification. Houses are starting to cost more in that area than what they previously did, aside from the obvious inflation. So they're cleaning up that area, hopefully trying to move a lot of the ugliness of that kind of Raytown Independence section that the stadium is in. So what I'm saying is I can see both things happen. I know that's a very liberal answer, right? Because, you know, it's like, well, both things can happen. But if the Chiefs stay there, I think there has to be some kind of redesign of the stadium. We have to go back to that idea of, is it a hybrid dome, right? Is it a Texans-like stadium where it opens and closes? I think that would be great because then Clark can get his ability to host the Super Bowl that he's so desperately wanted, and the city would love it. Then let's say if some, you know, billionaires or millionaires, a bunch of millionaires get together and put something for Clark and say, hey, move him here. Here's how much we'll fund, blah, blah, blah. Then I get it. Like, I won't like it, right? Because I hate driving out to a sporting stadium, you know, being a Northlander. And I think for most people, it's away from the city. Like, I don't like when stadiums are outside of the actual city.
Right.
Because it's a pain to get out there. But I get it. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about is, like, I wouldn't like if they moved out there to Kansas because you can't put it right next. You can't put it in the Kemper area. I guess you could. You'd have to tear down a lot of stuff. But and that whole area needs a lot of, you know, revive. But, yeah. I mean, so like I said, it's – I would get – if it moved to Kansas, I wouldn't necessarily like it. It is what it is. But if they stay in Missouri, definitely think within the next 10 years, they need some kind of upgrade that includes a hybrid approach where you never have a retractable roof or opening roof or something like that.
I agree. So I was going to throw back something to you on, because you had talked about obviously moving to Kansas, but I know I had some people even in our chat and I had heard rumblings about what about like North Kansas City, like I guess, like you said, the Northland, you know, I guess there's some area up there that might be open. What are your thoughts about maybe just still being in Missouri, but a little bit up north more?
So interesting story is actually where I live now. So I live by Worlds of Fun. Worlds of Fun used to be owned by Lamar Hunt. Well, the Hunt family. They eventually sold it off. But they were supposed to build the original Chiefs Stadium where Worlds of Fun is at. I think Clay County didn't approve it. So on and so forth, right? They were like, ah, we don't see the, you know, you're not going to get that money from us, from the local, right, tax. So that's why he went and took it where he, you know, where they built it up. Now I think there's a, we have a different thought process out north. You've seen it with the addition of, we have a big soccer complex coming up here. You've got the Casey Current, right? Brittany Mahomes is part ownership deal in that. So it's a different landscape in the Northland than it was 30 years ago. And so there is a ton of land as well out here. It probably wouldn't be as financially backed as it would be, let's say, in a Johnson County or even like the nice part of Wyandotte County. But there is a ton of land. There's a ton of developments already happening in place. And I think it would be cheaper than if you built like in Johnson County or even the nicer part of Wyandotte County. So I'd be all for it because – the other cool thing about the Northland that I think a lot of these West and South places don't have, there are so many ways that you can get out north. There are like, I live out north. I can get to work and downtown five different ways, and I can get back out north like five, six different ways. Whereas in 70, where Arrowhead's at, there's two ways to get in there.
Yeah.
Johnson County, there's, you get on 35. And if you go out towards like Sporting, yeah, you can go a few different ways, but then you eventually meet up in one place. So
right.
That's the cool thing about the Northland, that I, that would be amazing if they put it like, let's say in Liberty somewhere. Heck, Teardown Worlds of Fun if you want and build it right there. But yeah, that's a cool one because like you said, it is different perspectives. And I'm sure there are talks like that. There are a ton of people that have money. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day, right, is the money.
Yeah. And here's, so here's my thoughts on it. And obviously, as you had mentioned, you know, I didn't necessarily, I guess you would say, grow up here. I mean, I lived here for about 4 years and then I, you know, I moved, and kind of more so grew up in North Carolina. And then I moved back after, you know, shortly after high school anyways, and came back here and been here since. So, but Candace does have all, it has more, obviously a big part of my life, I would say, a part of North Carolina too, with that. But, my thought is I wouldn't like it in Kansas, and it's, and coming from me, I know it's kind of probably sounds weird, but I wouldn't want it here. I like where it is now. And if there was any other option, I would still have it, have it to where it's in that area still, even if not in that area. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is Missouri, like I said, you, like your idea as far as like Northland or anything like that, or even, I don't think it would happen downtown because I don't think baseball and football would definitely be downtown or different spots. I don't see that happening, but my theory, and I guess I kind of stick with it until it changes, is I think that's what I think should happen is when the Royals move downtown is they should obviously demolish Kauffman, and they should build right there, you know, a new Chief Stadium right there, and demolish obviously Arrowhead. And then once that's finished, that's where you have all the extra parking and you put stuff around it. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, that's kind of a weird area, like, you know, Independence kind of area, that to put like bars and restaurants there, it's not going to really do much business. But, you know, it's true. It might not. But I mean, I think that's the best option. I would think for most Chiefs fans, if it stays put there, obviously, I think a lot of people will argue with me and or argue with us both and probably say, we think that Royals and the Chiefs should always still be there. They both should be there. And, you know, Royals should even go downtown. And I can agree with that as well. I just think the way the Royals owner is, he's kind of set in his way that he wants it downtown. That's why I think it's pretty much 99.9% chance of that happening. But I would like it to be kind of how it is. But for the Chiefs to kind of evolve into this new generation of stadiums that you see that are evolving up, they have to do something to either get a new stadium somewhere else, or I know they're talking about even maybe renovating it. They did renovations already. They're nice renovations, it is, but but you know, to, you can't renovate any more than you have to make it to where these current new stadiums are like. I mean, in LA and Dallas and Arizona, on and on and on, these new ones that I would love to see the Chiefs have something like that. And I'm 100% backing with you on that whole roof thing, which Arizona has and Dallas has, where depending on the weather, you know, you open or close the roof, and also obviously it would guarantee a Super Bowl too as well. So, you know, definitely more to come on that. I mean, there'll be talk of that for the next who knows how many years until something actually happens. But it's always been a big talk about Royals and Chiefs, who moves, who doesn't, will it stay? But, you know, as of late, it's only been renovations, so we'll see what happens going forward.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing to add to that is it almost seems like in order to cash in on the cash cow that you have in Patrick Mahomes, it has to be done within his 10-year contract, right? Because you saw the Bills.
Yeah.
Right? The Bills just announced a new stadium, and I think it's going to be ready in the next 3 years. So that'll be within Josh Allen's career.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. Contracts are just some sort of initial agreement. They can be bought out, they can be broken, so on and so forth. So I don't know when the lease is up with Arrowhead, because I know the Royals is 2030. And then, you know,
I believe they're both at the same time. I think so. Yeah.
But like, I mean, the Royals could say we're going to build a new one in 3 years and be out of there by 2025, 2026. And it is what it is, right? Like, like I said, contracts, I mean, we've seen it already, you know, players hold out and all that stuff. Millionaires and billionaires, they have ways, and just like we take losses on when we buy something bad and, you know, lose a few hundred bucks, them losing a few million, you know, is kind of the equivalent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing is, like, I think if there is going to be something done, like you said, they have to modernize the stadium. It has to be done within Patrick's era, because what would suck is if you do it in, let's say, 2031, that's what, year 10 of Patrick's 10-year contract, if I'm not mistaken. Do you, you know, I mean, like, it is what it is. It's going to be built and people are going to attend the games, but mm-hmm. it's like, let's try to cash in on Patrick as much as we can so that, you know, we can still keep that financial momentum that he has going for the city and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's really my final thought on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see what ends up happening with that. I mean, obviously, like, we won't know for quite some time, obviously, because of those contracts still under for a little bit. But it will do once it actually is finalized on what is going to happen, it's going to be a very interesting decision. And I think either way, there's going to be some feedback on that for sure. So, well, that will actually end our episode of the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast from today. Check back with us like later. I believe next week we'll probably start our NFL draft talk with our analysts and preparing for that, which is on Thursday, April 28th. And it's three nights, I believe, 28th, 29th, and I'll capitulate on the 30th, which is the Drafts Chiefs Fest at Arrowhead, which I think you said you're going, right, Rich, on that Thursday, on that Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll be there too as well. So that'll be fun to see, you know, if there's any of those first or second round draft picks that shows up and, you know, give their take on the team and all that aspect as well. So, like I said, we'll even have our final, probably a final mock draft right before that as well. So definitely don't want to miss that and stay tuned for that coming up. So thanks again for everyone listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.